Welcome to Podcasts of Foes. I'm Greg Tito, host of Dragon Talk, the official Dungeons & Dragons podcast. To celebrate the launch of Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes, we worked with more than 20 of the community's favorite live play D&D podcasts to record special episodes using monsters and lore from Tome of Foes. We love highlighting the creativity of these amazing players and dungeon masters, and hopefully you will find one or two new podcasts to follow. To find out more about these groups and Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes, head to dnd.wizards.com/mtof or check out our live video programming on twitch.tv/dnd. I wanted to thank Victoria Rogers from the Broadswords for organizing all these amazing adventures from the community in this Podcasts of Foes. And to find out about the next D&D adventure, check out the Stream of Many Eyes on June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. More information on that event can be found at dnd.wizards.com/some. Have fun listening to this awesome one-shot adventure featuring monsters, stories, and lore pulled straight from Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes, available in game stores on May 18th and everywhere else on May 29th. Have fun rolling dice!
Lawful and Orderly is a proud member of the RPG Academy Network. Welcome to Lan Arcanum, the City of Magic. Built around the infinitely tall Everspire, the city shimmers with arcane energy. But that kind of power brings trouble. Trouble that sometimes seems to spawn from thin air. And no one knows trouble better than the Lan Arcanum Public Detectives. With visions of the future outlawed, the LAPD must sometimes break the rules in order to work with seers and prophets to save lives. These detectives for hire deal with the strangest and most convoluted mysteries in Lan Arcanum. This is one such mystery.
Just imagine the Dolby digital sound there.
Oh yeah, that would be good. Can we take that? Probably not. It's probably pretty copyrighted.
Probably.
Welcome to Lawful and Orderly, Tome of Foes, a special one-shot episode of Lawful and Orderly that is part of Wizards of the Coast's Podcast of Foes event. Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes is the newest, shiniest Dungeons & Dragons supplement. It covers some of the greatest conflicts in the multiverse, and it features the dry, critical wit of that master magician himself, Mordenkainen. Wizards of the Coast is working with actual play shows, like ours, to showcase Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes. They have been kind enough to send our group an advance copy, and they're hosting this episode of Lawful and Orderly on their Dungeon Delve podcast feed. Lawful and Orderly streams every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the RPG Academy Twitch channel, and our podcast releases twice a week on our own feed. Now, let me introduce myself and our players. I am Andrew J. Young, and I am the Dungeon Master for this episode. First up for our players, we have the affable Scott Brown.
Howdy, all you kids out there in Radio Land.
Hi, I'm Scott.
Yeah, you're so awesome.
Next, we have the talented Jeffrey Copeland.
What's up, guys?
And we have the brilliant Clara.
Hello.
Last but not least, the charming Marty McGuire.
Oh, hello there. Good to see you.
Finally, while we play Dungeons & Dragons, we do things a bit differently when we make checks to find clues. If a character fails their check to find a clue, they will still find the clue, but they must give up something or compromise themselves in some way in order to get it. Attack rolls, initiative, and any other checks unrelated to clues are still going to function normally.
Get ready for some botch dice.
Yes. Done. So many dice will be rolled. And we begin. We see the massive, magical metropolis of Lan Arcanum. The Everspire towers in the center, infinitely tall, and the city's many districts spread out from there. The city is abuzz with activity, and there are signs of celebration in the streets.
Yay!
We zoom in on the Smith's District, past weapon shops, armories, and aluminum smithies. We find ourselves outside a bakery slash cafe called Crust in the Wind. Inside, the cafe is quiet, in spite of the celebrations taking place elsewhere in the city. There are a few regulars at the counter silently drinking coffee, and a table of mostly unkempt folks sitting in a quiet corner. Suddenly, the door swings open, and a group of five figures step in. A canny halfling armed with dual blades and accompanied by a fearsome canine. A hulking half-orc wielding a massive bludgeon and wearing a scowl. A handsome human carrying a musical instrument and winking seductively at everyone. And an aloof elf clad in robes and carrying a glittering holy symbol. Clearly, these are adventurers about to set off on a quest of great importance. And then the camera pans back to the table of dirty misfits. A young woman is sitting opposite these misfits. She's dressed in business casual, but also has tinted spectacles, a wide-brimmed hat, and a trench coat, and is wearing a nervous look on her face. Why don't we introduce those misfits sitting around this table with this young woman? Scott, why don't we start by having you describe your character, Illyn Brownfeet?
Illyn is a stout little halfling with a couple of short swords on their back and a lovable canine that's just about as dirty as can be, an adorable mastiff at their side, and just a smile almost ear to ear plastered on their face at all times.
Perfect. And Clara, why don't we talk about Allo Seda?
Allo is a half-orc rogue. She is clad in leather. She has a small rapier on her hip, and she has her hand there attached to her back. She has her mace, Owl Wishes, and she has several other weapons in her mouth. That's why she's speaking through gritted teeth. And the name's Owl. I won't be eating anything because my mouth is occupied at the moment.
Ooh, I'll take her portion.
And at that moment, we cut over to Shannon Sparks. Jeffrey, why don't you describe Shannon for us?
Of course. Shannon's 7 foot fierce. She obviously, the fact that she's half unicorn helps because she, instead of having to wear heels every day, she can just wear her feet, which are hooves, which is super helpful. She's always equipped for the seasons. She usually opts for wearing some sort of garb that has pockets, obviously, because she likes to put stuff in them. That's what Shannon's doing.
And just to clarify for listeners, Shannon is not a sort of a centaur. She's a bipedal half unicorn.
Yeah, no, ew. She doesn't date centaurs either, just to make that clear to the audience. She is not a centaur.
And finally, Marty, why don't you introduce us to Aaron Tweet Twilson?
Yeah, Aaron is little on the handsome side for a human, and he's got kind of a familiar face. You've probably seen Aaron, or at least his family's traveling show, The Traveling Twilsons, who go town to town doing great feats of acrobatics and telling and recreating tales of old. And Aaron gave up that life to become a detective. But he, being the thespian, doesn't really know what a detective is like until someone tells him. So Aaron is wearing his normal acrobatics gear, stage blacks, and a climbing harness. He is currently finishing his third coffee and listening very intently, hoping to figure out who he's going to have to be today to solve this case.
Perfect. And just as the young woman sitting across from the four of you and Bark, the dog, just as she opens her mouth to speak, the dulcet tones of Lan Arcanum's favorite news-delivering now-sayer echo through the tavern.
Hello, Lan Arcanum, it's me, Skip Skyseeker, now-sayer 5, with your morning news. An enterprising new business has opened up in Lan Arcanum. They're calling it an arcade. I hope you heard the finger quotes. And it is quite popular with children and adults alike. Inside, visitors can pay money, more finger quotes, to participate in a sort of illusory stage play. But some folks are asking, is it too violent for children? Well, I don't know, but I'm sure it will sort itself out. What I do know is that it is a very special day here in Lan Arcanum, a day that only comes once a year. If you were like me, you were so excited that you barely got a wink of sleep last night. That's right, everyone. It's trash day! Find the trash hole nearest to you and dump in any organic materials and metals. But remember to save your stones and rocks for Golem Awareness Day. I'm Skip Skyseeker, now say a 5, and that's all the news that's fit to shout. Happy Trash Day, everyone!
Oh, Trash Day. I love Trash Day.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I forgot. I've got a whole pile I've been saving.
I'm starting to think of maybe getting rid of this pair of overalls. Like, I know, and it's been 10 years. I feel like once they're old enough to vote in the city elections, maybe it's time to get rid of them.
Yeah, Illyn, yeah, the smell is pretty terrible.
I can barely hear you with that dagger in your mouth. It's so weird.
Allo, if you want to take the weapons out of your mouth, I really don't think that, you know, you're going to need them quite yet. It feels like maybe you should let me maybe explain the situation a little bit.
Okay, Allo opens her mouth, and then you can just hear all the metal just
clank, 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 clank onto on the table.
Yeah.
a surprising number of weapons fall out of her mouth. And this is Claire DeLune, a seer who you've worked with a few times before, probably at least once. She's a human, a young human woman, and she occasionally has visions of the future, and she seems to come to you with one of these visions. It's kind of a really scary one. I had this vision earlier this morning.
I'm sorry, when you say vision, just because we're in a public place, I'm sure you mean flash of intuition. That was oddly specific.
I had a thought earlier this morning, and then I hallucinated about it a little bit.
That happens to everyone.
Okay.
What happened?
Well, why don't we all, and she pulls out a crystal ball, like, that's, like, wrapped in cloth, but, like, poorly wrapped. You can see it very strongly through the cloth. Why don't we all just, I'm just going to put this unidentified object on the table, and if we can all just touch this object through the wrappings, then I think you'll sort of get the gist of it all. Is that clear? Could we all just, if you touch the crystal ball, you'll see the vision I had.
Just five people reaching their hands out to simultaneously touch an object that is in no way going to communicate a vision of the future or otherwise.
This isn't
no problem.
Shady at all. Not at all.
All right, and so you all reach out and touch the crystal ball, and suddenly you find yourself whisked into the vision. You find yourself underground, somewhere in the network of sewers and catacombs that run beneath Lan Arcanum.
Oh, not the sewers again.
Oh, gross.
Hold on.
Sewers.
Let the vision play out. It's real. I would not have gotten hold of you guys if it wasn't really super duper serious.
Yeah,
all right. Oh, not gross.
You see a dwarf man in white coveralls sprinting down a tunnel, fear in his eyes. Oh, no. Oh, gods. How could I not have noticed it sooner? It's too late. We're all gonna die. It's too late. Suddenly, a bolt of red energy slams into the dwarf and he falls to the ground, stone dead. You hear movement, and you see another figure in white coveralls, holding a long, thin, ruby-red wand. Then, the vision shifts. You are above ground in Lan Arcanum, but the city is in ruins. Gigantic creatures, wreathed in fire, fight each other in the streets. Sinister fiends, dripping with poison and blood, clash against each other by the hundreds, and the sky is full of winged monstrosities and a rain of boiling acid. And then the vision ends. So, that was what I wanted to talk to you guys about.
Was that dwarf accurate? Because he said it was too late.
Uh-oh. I don't know.
Aaron gets up to look out the window and see if there are any monstrosities flying around in the sky.
Nope. You see some people happily dancing around a trash bag.
Oh, right. It's trash day. Aaron waves at them. Happy trash day!
Oh, happy trash day to you too, sir.
Did we see any trash in this vision that would date it to on or about trash day?
You know, you didn't, but the whole city was kind of trashed at the time that you did see the city. And the other of it took place in the sewers. So it was all garbage down there also. So hard to tell, really. So I know you guys usually take payment up front, but I don't really have much to offer. I was kind of hoping...
Okay, let's go, guys.
Oh, I was kind of hoping... And then...
Allo gets up.
But when you stand up, you find yourself no longer in Crust in the Wind, the combination bakery and cafe. You find yourself plunged into darkness again. But this time, as the light returns, you find yourself seemingly in the depths of space. Before you stands a robed figure, his hands outstretched, and his voice booms out at you.
It is I, the great Zoomanen Hans, and in spite of your unjust anti-seer law, I have brought you here to share with you a vision of utmost import.
And this, in space, a square of blackness appears and suddenly fills with a vision. You see a figure in white coveralls. With a red wand at their hip, and they are getting out of a carriage outside of a small shop, and the top of the shop reads, Arcade,
and they pass by a parking meter and enter into the arcade. And the vision ends.
That person has entirely failed to feed the meter. Such flagrant disregard for the law must be dealt with, else it shall lead to anarchy. I charge you each with uncovering the identity of this meter bandit and reporting them to the proper authorities. And as recompense for dealing with this troubling criminal, I shall bestow upon you each a mighty gift, a pendant of fire steel, forged in the heart of the elemental plane of fire and emblazoned with the celestial rune through my own arcane powers.
Show off.
Zoomin, that sounds really good, and I think we'll take the
case.
It
does.
But,
yeah, definitely.
But you're offering us all of that to catch somebody who didn't pay their parking meter?
It's a slippery slope.
Hi, Zoomin and Claire here. You did only hand out 4 badges, so I assume that I'm not involved. And also I assume that Bark does not get the same kind of, like, maybe Illyn and Bark, do you guys share, like, payment usually?
My epic powers occasionally pick up people near those I bring into this domain.
Okay, good. So I just want to make sure I'm not getting roped in here. So, okay, great. That's cool. Because I had my own real thing this morning that I was really worried about. I had plans to go pack a bag and take a vacation.
Ooh, oh, yeah. That's kind of weird. Claire, you saw a thing. Zoom in. What do you got in like the fire and brimstone in the city being destroyed in chaos department? Are you seeing anything like that?
Seen anything? Why, yes. This slippery slope. I'm positive that if you all capture this meter bandit, that all will be well with the cosmos.
Oh, all right. Well, that sounds like an easy fix.
Doesn't it, though?
And you find yourselves back in Crust in the Wind, the combination bakery / cafe. Zoomin and Hans is gone. Back to whence he always hangs out in space. And you are sitting there with Claire de Lune.
So are you taking my case also?
I feel like there were both figures in white overalls and wands. Maybe this can be a twofer?
Yeah, it sounds like some overlap.
Okay, like some sort of magical painters are up to no good in the city.
Okay, so you're all of you are on board with taking both cases, right?
Yeah, I mean, assuming that they are actually the same person at the center of the case, we're going to do the one that we got paid for and just like kind of hope that works out yours, if that makes sense.
You mentioned like a payment plan, though, so I mean, I'm not going to forget that.
At that, the baker standing behind the counter who's cashed you all in for those of you who bought coffee or, you know, baked goods, leans over the counter and says, "Now listen up, you. If it's payment you want, I will get you all lunch or something. But you all need to do this. When I, you know as well as I do that Trash Day is the most sacred of all holidays. And by gods, if Lan Arcanum's going to go down, it's not going to be on Trash Day. So go figure out whatever thing Claire showed you and get it all sorted out."
Do you know Claire or us?
This woman turns to you and she shapeshifts from a human into a big minotaur. And she like pulls out, she reaches down and rummages through a box and pulls out an old Lan Arcanum High Guard uniform, and the patch on it just says Chief.
The Chief.
Yeah, the Chief. Who do you think is the Chief? It's me.
Chief. Aaron goes to salute and then looks around at the rest of the coffee shop and does not.
And she drops the uniform back into the box. A whole box of these I'm not using anymore. I'm going to trash day and get rid of them. But anyway, this is my cafe, so I'm going to kick you out. But also, if you do the thing, then you can come back and have lunch.
Right away, Chief. Yes, Chief. Yeah.
Ma'am, thanks. First of all, it's definitely ma'am. And second of all, Brown Feet, get out.
Yes, Chief.
All right, so you guys, all five of yourself, including Bark, find yourself out on the street outside of Crest in the Wind. And where are you going? Where did the investigation begin?
Oh.
So before Aaron joined the actual High Guard, while he was going through academy and doing his training, Aaron actually worked briefly in parking enforcement. And I would like to roll history and see if Aaron recognized that specific meter or was able to identify some markings that would tell where in the city that meter was, to give us a clue as to where that's going to be.
That sounds great. It sounds like what you want to roll is an intelligence check and maybe add some sort of skill to that.
We didn't even get to see what the vehicle looked like.
And to Clara's point, I will go ahead and tell you it was powder blue.
A powder blue vehicle.
Powder blue.
They're making those wagons in all kinds of colors. Well,
meanwhile, Ilan is talking to Bark like, well, Bark, if this doesn't work out and we're all doomed, do you want to go to the arcade before the whole city is destroyed? Rolf! Rolf! Yeah, that sounds fun, doesn't it? All right.
Alrighty. So that's straight intelligence roll, or can I take history on that?
Do you have a skill that you thought you could add to it as far as your history and like parking enforcement?
I was hoping to just add history, yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Great. So that's a 16 total.
Hey, that's a success. You know exactly where this is, in fact. You don't recognize the carriage itself, but you do recognize that particular parking meter, because it is outside a sort of a strip mall, and those businesses are constantly changing in and out. Like, it's never the same business for more than a week or so at a time, and so there are constantly people parking in front of those meters who you would have to ticket for
it's
not
always
the meter,
because different people every time.
Yep, the moving in their equipment and taking out their equipment, and you know, arguing with, you know, loan officers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, and it is, you know exactly where that is, and it is right in front of the arcade.
Guys, I've used my extensive memory of dealing with these meters day after day. I remember exactly where in the city this one particular meter. Wow, I could tell you so many stories, and I don't know why these people don't just pay the meter. It's right in front of that the new arcade.
Oh boy, this might be a threefer.
I didn't know you were a gamer, Bark.
Ruff, ruff, ruff. But I don't have your ball. Ruff, ruff. We'll have to play dog-sized basket orb later. Ruff. And so the five of you find yourselves in front of the arcade, standing in front of the powder blue carriage and the meter with an expired number on it. And the arcade, from inside the arcade, you can hear the sounds of joy and merriment, and also a little bit of death and horror.
Aaron,
like a light undertone of death and horror.
Aaron looks to see if there's already a ticket on the blue cart carriage. What do we got here?
There's not a ticket on the powder blue carriage as of yet. And you don't have the authority to write one because you are simply a detective for hire.
Right. No, on the contrary, Aaron rummages around in his pockets to see if he can feed the meter and buy them some time in case that it's a run-in with law enforcement that kicks this whole thing off.
Ah, interesting. All right, yeah, you dig out a few copper pieces and feed the meter. Should be enough time to at least sort it out.
Ellen will pat the horses of the carriage and... being an expert in all animals of the city and urban environment, feel how hot their muscles are to kind of gauge how many minutes the carriage has been idle here in front of the arcade.
All right, yeah, wisdom charisma handle animal.
Charisma handle animal, yeah. Oof. All right, not wisdom. All right, here we go. Charisma's one. I'm trained.
Can Owl do something?
12 total.
She sure can, and that we'll take that as a success. Clara, why don't you tell me what Allo wants to do, and then I'll get back to and tell Scott what Ilan learned.
Okay, I feel like Allo wants to meet the person, right? Shouldn't we be meeting him?
That's certainly one thing you could do, is storm into the arcade and find out whoever's in there and let the parking meter running.
No, Allo is going to startle the horses, so like sets off the alarm so that, you know, the guy has to come out.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so Ilan learns. Claire, sorry, why don't you give me an intimidation roll? Charisma, intimidation, your standard. Scott, Ilan learns that the horses have been there probably about I want to say 15, maybe 20 minutes already. They nicker and whinny, and they're very friendly towards you because you are a master of animal interactions.
Ilan pulls out some fresh oats out of some unseen pocket of her very grubby overalls. And
why they are carrying fresh oats in their pocket, we'll never know, but the horses love it, and they love you.
And then, I think the carriage has only been here for a little while, and Allo, what are you doing? You look so big.
Allo smacks the horse on the butt.
What did you get on your roll?
I got an 18.
Oh, perfect.
Plus 4.
The horses rear up, snap their leather straps, and take off down the street. They are gone. They leave. Jangle their bells and rattle their harnesses loudly. And you see someone comes to the door, and they poke their head out, and they're not wearing white coveralls, and they don't have a ruby red wand at their hip. They are a mind flayer, and they are wearing a little badge that says Brian on a shirt that says Arcade, and it's clearly like been hand stitched. The word Arcade has been hand stitched onto this shirt.
Brian, you just left your horses untethered.
No, they're not my horses. I just wasn't seeing what the ruckus was. Hey, have you guys ever been to an arcade? It's a lot of fun. You guys would have a great time.
No, we haven't been to an arcade, but...
Are you sure? Because mine's, like, I think the first one, and also very good.
You can fashionable... literally step inside your arcade.
No, hold on. I would like to talk to the fashionable lady over there. Excuse me, ma'am.
Oh, what's up? Brian? That's a cool name. You work here?
I also think it's a great name. My name's Brian Dryan, a mind flayer, and it was a pleasure to make your acquaintance, and I would like to invite you in to visit the arcade. And here, and he produces a gold coin, but on closer inspection, it's like stamped with like the word token, and it's 100%.
It has two grooves down the middle.
Right, 100% not valid currency. I would like to invite you into the arcade with a free game. And he hands you the token.
And Shannon catches it like, oh, guys, okay, powwow. I've never been to an arcade. I'm pretty sure that guy is like 50, but this is a good idea. Like, we need to, we should make this happen. Like,
I mean, do you need a wingman? I mean, he seems pretty exciting, although I've heard they flay mines, but that could be exciting.
Whoa.
These games are for kids.
I thought you said save mines. You said fillet mines. What are they?
It's a mind flayer. That's fine. I mean, we've met mind flayers before, and most of them are perfectly fine people, like Bobby Flay.
Didn't we put him in jail?
Oh, right. Well, anyway, I think this will be great.
I gotta say, I've never experienced entertainment like what they say goes on here at the arcade. I've trained all my life to play all kinds of roles, to be people throughout history, to sing songs about every event. But this arcade thing sounds pretty good.
Guys, we have a case to do. Like, don't you guys want real life action and not fake pretend action? Like, there's nothing like smelling the blood of your foes.
How loudly do you say that, Claire? How loudly does Allo say that?
Very loud, as loud as she can.
Perfect. In point of fact, I don't know who you are, ma'am, but it's a pleasure to meet you. I think there might be something for you in the old arcade, old Brian Ryan's arcade, because, ma'am, what we have here is an illusory spectacle of only the most violent and bloodthirsty. And really, it's a fantastic treat for children and adults of all ages. So, and he pulls out another token. Oh, if you would like to, in fact, he pulls out three. Just one for all of you. I don't want to be like, it's unfair to only give you a couple each of you.
Oh, wow.
Come in. Enjoy a round of my particular brand of fun and games. And he does then, at this point, go back into the arcade and leaves you out on your own.
I can't believe he leads with the violence and then also leads with the children thing.
Very off.
It's an odd choice.
Yeah.
Maybe we can help him out with his marketing.
Ooh, that'd be nice. Little rebranding. That'd be good.
Okay. All right. We'll each have one token. We're only going to use one token, and then we're going to get back on the case, guys.
Yeah. Of course. Well, I mean, let's be real. The carriage was parked outside of the arcade. We saw the person in the coveralls with the red wand go into the arcade. Probably they're in the arcade, so this gives us a cover to wander around and look for the person we're trying to find and enjoy ourselves.
Yay!
All right, guys. All right.
All right, so you enter the arcade with shiny new free pass tokens in hand, and inside you find a pretty significant crowd of people. You don't immediately see anyone in white coveralls inside, but you do see a whole lot of red, ruby red wands.
Ooh.
Most of them are smaller than the one that you saw in the first vision, and they have a much cheaper look to them. In fact, almost everyone is holding one of these ruby red wands. There are a few people who are holding a sort of like ball of sludge. And it looks like it's dripping, but it doesn't actually drip. Like it looks like it's dripping, but it's actually like molded into the shape of a dripping ball of sludge. So it's not actually like wet. You get closer, you're like, okay, it's like wood that's like carved into the shape of a dripping ball of sludge. But it's all glossy and yucky looking. And they're all wearing these completely dark goggles and like waving in the air, like at nothing and shouting at nothing. But all clearly having a great time. There are lines of people behind them, like holding tokens and like eagerly waiting for their turn.
You came in. Great, great, great. Welcome again to Brian Dryan's arcade. And what can I do for you? Come in to try the games. Fun and games.
So Brian, are these people just like on drugs? Is that the game? Is it drugs?
No. What you're seeing is sort of simulated illusory reality. I'm working. They're all playing right now. We only have one game, I will be honest. In that game, first of all, let me say it's based on cosmic history and current events, and it's basically educational, so that we do have that aspect for the children. Basically an educational game. Anyway, in this game, let me just tell you what you do. I'll just give you the rough outline. You're gonna get into the game, you're gonna wear these magical spectacles, and you're gonna see a scene before you that you've never seen before. You're going to feel like you're really in. You're going to hear the sounds. You're going to smell the smells. You're going to taste the tastes. By the way, the smells and tastes are terrible, and there's no refund for those. But you're going to create a character. There'll be sort of an options interface. You're going to role play as that character. So you will pretend to be the character that you are in this game.
That's ridiculous. No, who would ever role play as a different character?
Now, man, because there's more. You're going to try and level that character up to rank 20. Now you do, everyone is going to play as a sort of infernal fiend, and I call this game tentatively Demons and Devils. Sometimes it abbreviated D&D for short.
Huh.
Right.
That'll never catch on.
It's a brand new experience. I think you're going to love it.
Brian, quick question. Do these, all of these devils that we're going to be, do they happen to look like they're on fire, and do some of them fly?
Oh, sir. There is a wide variety of infernal fiends and denizens of the abyss and the nine layers of hell for you to portray. Let me just lay out quickly to two sides. You can either be a minion of Jueblex, the faceless lord, the oozing hunger. Jueblex is a demon lord of the abyss. Their armies aren't super powerful or organized, even by demon standards. Mostly Jueblex is a threat because their slimy spawn would consume all the cosmos if given a proper launching point. It would have to be somewhere very magical with like a near infinite supply of physical material. You could be a member of Jueblex's army, or you could be a member of the army of Asmodeus, chief archdevil and lord of the nine hells. He's one of the most powerful creatures in the cosmos, which does make him basically unbeatable and not particularly interesting. I am trying to program in some other archdevils like Zariel or Levistus, but having a bit of difficulty programming those folks in right now. So right now your options are Jueblex or Asmodeus. But again, you're not going to be portraying those characters. You'll be underlings in their armies.
Well, do we have to all pick the same?
No, you got a whole variety. Oh, hang on a second. Pinky, get back on there. And you see him like turn, and there's a greenish sludge that is wobbling around in the background, kind of like a big plate of nasty jello. And it has climbed up some stairs and is like reaching out to try and touch somebody who's on the virtual reality. No, Pinky, get back down to the basement. Go, just chill for a second.
Brian, I feel like we should leave. We came, but that's not touching that man. That's how an arcade works. This is what we do.
No, listen, listen. This is one of my ooze buddies. His name is Pinky. I found they showed up in my basement one day when I first moved in here, started working on the old arcade, having a little bit of trouble. Let me be honest, having a little bit of trouble with the idea back then. But these fellas showed up, found them in the basement. I started talking to them, you know, telepathically, Illithid, Mind Flayer. I got all that sort of psychic abilities. They sort of like reacted to my telepathic communication. At first, they were kind of acidic and like burny and stuff. And now they're really like, he like pokes it. Like, they don't really hurt at all, even if you touch them. They're very gentle, usually.
Bark takes the opportunity to lick this ooze.
It's super gross, but not at all dangerous. Probably not even venomous to lick. Probably nasty. Bark might throw up later.
Ugh.
I
just washed you 2 months ago. Stop.
Kind of rolling in and kind of the side.
I feel like we need to have a discussion about hygiene when we get back to the office. Just, you know. Just...
That'll be the seventh one this week.
Sorry.
Well, anyway, so yeah, don't worry about these guys. These are just my ooze buddies. Honestly, they're a big help to me because they sort of, every night they sort of generate this psychic memory juice. And that's actually what I use. I use the sort of psychic memory juice and I mold it into the sort of illusory visions that make up the games in the arcade here. Without these guys, there'd be no games, let me tell you right now.
So at this point, Aaron walks back up to the group, having wandered away, and is already wearing all of the different pieces. He's got the headset up on his head. He's gathered up enough collections of the like the little slime orb versus the fire rods for anyone to pick. And he's just like, well, I don't see how this could go wrong in any possible way. So I'm ready to play. Who's ready to play?
Oh, me next. That's when you hear a crash from down the stairs. Dang it. Hold on. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go deal with my. Actually, would you guys like to do me a favor?
Not it.
No. Yeah, I don't know how to turn this thing on. So I'll help you deal with that.
He holds up 4 more gold tokens. Listen, I got 4 more Kree gold pass tokens for you. If you can come do me a favor. My arms a little spindly, not particularly strong. I am telepathic, not as telekinetic as some of my other illithid relatives, so kind of hard for me to do the whole lifting stuff with my mind thing, so if you guys could lend me a hand.
Aaron has sure already grabbed a token, and he's like, is it the basement? The basement. Are we going to the basement?
Yeah, come on.
Great. Yep. Yeah,
come down with me to the basement real quick. Just all four of you.
It's a four for. We're going to get paid so much today.
Actually, Clara or Shannon, do you strongly resist going down to the basement with Aaron and Illyn and Bark and Brian?
Allo goes, but she has her hand on her rapier.
That seems extremely reasonable. Shannon, are you accompanying them?
Shannon is not. She's not going into the basement.
She
Brian.
Is not going into the basement. Perfect. No. Perfectly reasonable.
Allo has to go because somebody has to provide cover for Aaron and Illyn. They won't make it.
Aaron's just muttering like, oh, I gotta play this game.
Shay, before we venture into the basement, let's hang out with Shannon for just a second. Shannon, the weird ooze thing, Pinky, is rolling up towards you and going. It's like reaching out a weird pseudopod to like try and touch you.
Oh my gosh! So okay, stop. So Shannon is like, this isn't going to work. And so she decides to make some sort of cure to help Pinky not be so gross. She's going to turn him into like some sort of mammal creature so he won't touch her. Please.
That is extremely interesting. I don't know that Shannon has the power to do that, but what are you trying to cast a spell or do you want to use a skill?
I think she wants to use her medicine skill, her medicinal powers to try and just like stop him before he gets too close.
Yeah, so tell you what, roll me your wisdom medicine check, and I will, based on what you roll, I'll tell you what Shannon is able to do for old Pinky.
Okay, here we go, baby. Hey, baby! I got a 19!
Excellent. So, Shannon, what you're able to do is you reach into your pouch, and you pull out, you're quickly, like, you're backing away from this slime so it doesn't touch you. You're, like, sifting through, like, leaves and berries and, like, poultices and things, uh-huh. And finally you come upon one, and this is a It is supposed to work on like oozing wounds. It's like it's sort of a coagulant, but also it dries things out.
A desiccant.
And so a desiccant. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Oh, yeah. So you're like, this will do it. This will help this creature, surely. And so you apply this to the ooze creature, and it freaks out and goes running towards the basement, making unhappy sloshing noises.
Ooh.
However, you are right in front of the basement stairs.
Ooh.
And so what happens is you both go tumbling down the stairs into the basement.
Oh, no! That's what a D19 gets me.
Well, you did succeed in finding the perfect medicine to like counteract this thing. However, its reaction was not ideal.
So Shannon is like freaking out right now because it's like they were rolling on the stairs intertwined, and she like, it's in my mouth.
Here's what happens to Shannon. Interestingly enough, as you stand up and step away from the ooze, finding in the basement, like
the ooze has a name.
It does. It's Pinky. As you stand up and like step away from Pinky, now the last thing you remember is everyone else going down the stairs, and now you're also downstairs. So you kind of, you must have just walked downstairs with everybody else.
Oh, because okay.
You remember everybody going downstairs, and now you are downstairs. So you must have just come down with everybody else, and you're fine.
Okay, so I don't remember right?
You don't remember anything that just happened.
Nice.
Okay. Did any of us hear a scream?
Because what happened was you guys came down the stairs. All right, guys. So what's happening is that I think they might be getting out occasionally. There's like some heavy crates back here that I haven't dug into yet. And I think there might be like a crack in the foundations. I think there's like some eggs and like catacombs below here. I'm worried that they're getting out, and I don't want that. First of all, they're important to me from a friend point of view. These are my ooze buddies. They're Oblexes. Very valuable, one. They're my friends, two. And also my business would completely collapse if I didn't have them. So I don't want them to, like, escape. I want them here where I can take care of them and also use them for profit. So if you could just help me move these boxes out of the way, we can just see if there's any kind of, like, opening that we could, like, maybe seal off.
So, Brian, I really want to help
Shannon, you. You decided to join us.
Yeah, I'm here. So really want to help you. But with friends, you don't have to like make them help you. And you listed that twice as your reasonings. So I just, very loosely used term there for friends.
Here's the thing.
Your ooze buddies.
These ooze buddies, these Oblexes, first of all, they all do have names. There's four of them. Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clydebert. They are my friends, but their intelligence level, these are kind of like at a canine intelligence level. Mm. So they're clever. Yeah. Just like your old friend here.
Mm.
Dog. So they're clever.
Her name's Bark.
Her name is Bark. Great. Nice to meet you, Bark. And he pulls out a gold token. This is for you. You just keep a hold of this right here. I'm just going to put that right in your, tuck that into your collar. Oh, you ate it. Okay. Well, I'm sure that'll come out all right. Yeah, so it sounded like Bark here. They have a simulacrum of intelligence. They're a little bit smart. They're not as smart as like your average like human or your average halfling or your bad example maybe.
Ooh, little shade there. Okay, Brian.
Maybe your average like half unicorn or your average half orc or any of that kind of stuff. So they're more. I call them my ooze buddies, but they're kind of my ooze pets that I like to take care of.
Well, nothing suspicious here. Aaron is already moving boxes. And actually, Aaron is climbing over the boxes, because why move a box to look for a hole when you can just scramble over them? So, he climbs over the pile and is looking, for mysterious exits from the room.
Alla does not help move boxes. She just keeps her hand on her rapier and looks around.
Which is a shame, because Alla was the strongest person in this room by a significant margin.
Illyn will help move the smallest box that's kind of in the center or a corner of this large pile of boxes that already sort of seemed like it was teetering. Like, oh, I can lift this one.
And the boxes go clattering to the floor. They do, several of them break open, but there doesn't seem to be anything like incredibly relevant inside. It's just a bunch of
Why would you keep t-shirts? So many ham hocks down here?
And ham hocks. T-shirts and ham hocks. Now listen, friend, these are not my boxes. Want to make clear, found these here when I moved in, bought the place and moved into the place. Not mine. Don't want it. You guys want tea?
From deep inside of the pile of boxes, Aaron's like, Ilan, did you hear that? Free ham hocks.
Yay! And Aaron, while he's deep inside the pile of boxes, does find a pretty large opening. There is like a break in the floor, and it sort of, it's actually like, it almost looks like there's been a cave in below, because there's like a slope of rubble going down into what is clearly the catacombs. And on the edge of the rubble, caught on the edge of the rubble, is a scrap of white fabric. Exactly like the white coveralls seen in both of the previous visions.
Aaron like slowly reaches and takes the white cloth and sadly pushes the goggles up off of his head and climbs back out of the boxes and holds it up and says, "Oh, everybody, I found a passageway into a large cave system, and I think we have to go there instead of playing this awesome game."
Oh, that's a shame, because D&D is a really fantastic game. And you're missing out, but...
I'm dubious about that. I'm not sure it'll catch on.
Listen, Brian, you don't have to convince me, man, but you said you had a job for us, and there is a huge opening into a huge cave system. I think we got to check it out.
I mean, hey, sure, man, chase your bliss, whatever. Just know that those tokens are good forever. And as long as my business does not come to an unforeseen and immediate halt, they'll be good anytime you want to use them.
Hey,
quick! I'll toss her coin to Aaron, and she just beelines into the cave.
Aaron grabs it and looks at his now three coins. He's very excited. And then he says, "Wait a minute. Hey, you didn't happen to have a customer in a set of white overalls come in here recently, did you?"
Oh yeah, you know, I have a couple of those. You know, it's a real complex name. I'm sure if I think for just a second, I'll remember the name of the organization they work for.
No, Bark. Why would there's so many hammocks? Don't take my hammock. What? You can play this game.
Ellen, don't tug of war with Bark. You always lose.
But I'll win this time. Oh no! You made me talk.
Allo calls from inside the cave, like, "Come on, you guys, you're missing out."
Well, anyway, but let me just let you know, yeah, they're from the Dirt and Debris Disposal Guild. Those white coveralls are sort of the uniform of the guild. Yeah, they're in here pretty frequently. A couple of them are players.
Oh, what are they doing here on Trash Day?
Actually, just the one, isn't it? I thought there was a bunch of them, but it's really just the one. You know, come to think of it, I've seen them come in, but I've never actually seen him play the game. Or her, I'm sorry, pardon me. I've never seen her play the game. Huh, weird.
Brian, I gotta say, you don't keep a super close watch on your customers, my dude.
Hey, listen, let me point out right now, there's nobody up there running the show. Yeah, I'm down here with four complete strangers and a dog in a basement with a hole in it. So that's a good point, my man. I'm gonna go back upstairs and keep an eye on those children.
Cool. Seems like no way to run a business, but I am super pumped to play this game. So we're going to check out this giant hole into the catacombs and see if we can solve your little escaped ooze problem. And then I want to come back and demon it up, my man.
Yeah, great. I can't wait. I'm excited. Excited to have you. I'm excited for you to be here. I'm excited for you to come back and play the game.
All right, now go watch those unattended children. And Aaron disappears into the cave.
So deep inside, Allo's a little bit ahead of everyone, right? So what does she see first?
You know what? It doesn't take long before Allo comes across a corpse in the dark.
Allo's like, yes!
So perfect. Yeah, so she finds the corpse of a dwarf, dwarf man in white coveralls. Very familiar to her because it is the man from the from Claire's original vision.
Allo's like, oh no, little homie, you dead.
Yeah, so...
Do I investigate? I should investigate, obviously.
That seems like what a detective would do. Would you like to roll a skill check?
I would like to roll a skill check. Oh, wait, hold on. I got a 6.
All right. Well, a great time to show our listeners that here at Lawful and Orderly, we can't afford to fail skill checks to find clues, because otherwise the mystery doesn't go anywhere. So, Allo, you are going to find out something about this victim. But what are you going to lose? What are you going to have to give up, or what are you going to compromise yourself on in order to find this clue? Now, you're down there by yourself, a real macho lady, a real go-getter, solo lone wolf style. What are you going to lose in order to find this clue?
I feel like I would maybe take my knife, my rapier out, and then I would, like, lose it in the dark. Oh, it is dark already. So.
It is dark. Maybe it breaks. Maybe it snaps in half. You are using it to, in traditional, you learned from the High Guard that you always need to have something long and pointy to poke the corpse with.
Yes. I was like, autopsy.
Autopsy indeed.
That's that method named after Sir Al Topsy, who first pioneered it.
Al Topsy.
Yeah, the very first in the High Guard to poke a corpse with a long and pointy implement. Officer Topsy was sadly lost on the line of duty when he poked something that wasn't yet a corpse. But anyway, so we find Clara poking this corpse with her rapier. And in spite of her dark vision, in her enthusiasm, she inadvertently misses the body and snaps the tip of the rapier off against the stone walls of the catacomb. So you now have a broken rapier.
Oh, no.
But you are able to identify that this is this corpse was formerly a dwarf named Derek Drek. And you can identify that he, from his outfit, he was in fact a member of the Dirt and Debris Disposal Guild, and he was killed by... magical impact.
Oh, that's not good. Oh, poor Derek.
And that's when Illyn and Bark and Aaron and Shannon all show up, also next to you and this corpse and your broken rapier.
Okay, so guys, I got a body. Don't worry, I already poked it. I haven't poked it yet, so if anybody wants to take their instrument and poke the body and find out some more stuff.
So Shannon's like, okay. So then she bends over and starts poking it with her horn, her unicorn horn. And she's like, it's dead. And then gets up.
It is, in fact, definitely dead. Definitely a dead dwarf.
I'm really glad that we've been out of the hard card for a while, but we still got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I get a perception check from either Illyn or Aaron? Or Shannon. Somebody who hasn't rolled a skill check. This hallway.
Shua. Not so great. What's my wisdom? Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's a 4.
Okay, great. Actually, why don't Scott, why don't you and Jeffrey also both give me perception checks? I will say Clara was too busy. Clara, we'll say Alla was too busy talking to be receptive.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, I just went out and poked it like I normally do.
Yeah, I mean, that's right the procedure, off. Right? Yeah, yeah, it's good. Poking.
Poke something. Sometimes it pokes you back. That's how autopsy now.
So I rolled a 5, and then I have a +5.
Well, that 10, that's pretty good. Let's see if it's good enough. Scott, what did you get?
Oh, look, everybody, I found something! This the lichen on this rock? You can eat that! I know from my time as a park ranger. We gotta do the sewers too. It's good and good for you. It's nature's candy.
Just like crows, Illyn is eating the lichen, which is nature's candy. That is, the crows are like nature's candy, not that crows eat lichen, which is also nature's candy.
Yeah. Thanks for explaining, DM. Yes. I got a 4 + 2 = 6 is definitely a failure.
Definitely not good enough. But Jeffrey, with a 10, you notice just in the nick of, well, actually just after the nick of time, that you are surrounded by three folks in white coveralls.
Oh, yikes.
Now, what do you all think you're doing here? We got, you might have a little bit of explaining to do, folks.
You have the explaining to do. There's a dead body right there.
Yeah.
I think you should do the explaining, dude.
She has a point.
How about I go ahead and introduce myself, and then y'all introduce yourselves. I'm Becky Skume. I am the director of the Dirt and Debris Disposal Guild. This is my... let me introduce all three of my associates. You have before you... my ex-friend, Derek Drek, who you appear to have killed. This is my vice director, Raina Dross. And this is my other associate and colleague, Rouge. Rouge, why don't you... Nope. All right. Silent as always, Rouge.
Aaron reaches into his kit and brings out his notepad and flips it to a page that shows the logo of the Lan Arcanum Public Detectives that he has clearly drawn in pen. And says, I'm Aaron Twilson. These are my colleagues. We're with the Lan Arcanum Public Detectives. We were hired by the owner of this establishment, and he waves the three coins in his hand and then puts them back in his gear to investigate a hole through which some creatures very relevant to his business were escaping. We just came upon your poor friend here. You said his name was Derek?
Your ex-friend. You just stated motive.
Well, no, pardon me. Ooh. Ex-friend on account... No, there's no ooze necessarily, ma'am. I assure you.
I don't know. That was a pretty poor choice of words.
Yeah. Well, it was a poor choice of yours to kill him.
And you're pretty nonchalant of his death.
Okay, my current... My friend, who I thought was still my friend up until the point of his death, on account of you all have killed him. So, my friend, Derek Dreck, who is now my friend corpse, Derek Dreck, my colleague and close associate.
If we notice one common thing among murderers, it's that they often spend a lot of time trying to explain what they're doing here, mm-hmm. or how they feel about a situation, which you're obviously doing.
So this Becky is a dwarf, and Rouge is a half-elf, and Raina is a half-orc. And Raina speaks up. Now, listen, I don't want to, you know... Actually, I do want to. I just want to ask: Are you guys wearing? Are you holding fire steel? Is that fire steel that you've got there on those emblems? Those like emblazoned with some sort of rune?
Maybe. Why do you want to trade? Because it's pretty neat.
No, I don't want to. I just to be clear. We've got a lot of local fauna down here, and that fire steel is really gonna futz with them. So if you could just maybe sort of keep it on the DL. We work with a lot of oozes down here, and they tend to really dislike fire. And if I recognize fire steel, trust me, they're also going to dislike that. So you can put those in your pockets, maybe, or wrap them in sort of a hanky or something. That I'd sure would appreciate it. Good call, Raina. Yeah, if y'all could take off them fire steel emblems and just pocket those or cover them up, you know, I have never seen an ooze who was intrigued by fire steel. They all hate it to a one, and occasionally it does hurt them to touch.
I mean, are you the fashion police now? Is this guild do two roles? Shannon, I mean, you're the Church of Fashionology. Is this a thing? Can they tell us how to dress?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like white coveralls in fall, it's iffy. I don't know. I don't know.
Bam. Ma'am, I do appreciate your fashion sense, and if this were another time, I would certainly come to you and ask for fashion advice, because you are extremely snappily dressed, and I admire your choices. But unfortunately, these are my business attire. I cannot change this uniform as much as I would desire to on some days, especially as you say in the fall.
That's great. Aloe cuts her off. So can you tell us what Derek was doing?
Extremely rude.
Yeah, what was Derek?
We all work down here. The whole Dirt and Debris Disposal Guild works down here. We are especially busy in the days leading up to and following today, Trash Day. As you all know, one of the most important holidays in Land Arcanum, the entire city, is out celebrating. And we are corralling the oozes in order to sort of collect all that garbage and that trash. And the oozes, as you may or may not, know this. Most oozes, the oozes that we work with down here, they do consume... that debris, that garbage, and dissolve it, and that's how we dispose of the trash down here. We take it to the master ooze and dispose of it there, and that it takes care of all of your metal and organic debris.
Oh, that's good. Very environmentally friendly.
Now, thank you. So now, if you all just leave, actually, no, wait, hold on a second. You did kill my friend, so you're going to have to hang out with us until we get a hold of some sort of authority figure.
Wow, you are at turns completely calm and unworried about, and occasionally really adamant that we killed your friend here, which we did not. Yeah, I can assure you,
sir. Let me tell you, you do not get to be the director of the Dirt and Debris Disposal Guild by cracking under pressure, especially not on today of all days, Trash Day, one of the most important holidays in Land Arcanum. You will not find me in a tizzy or panicking under any circumstances, even under the death of my dear and good friend and colleague and co-worker, Derek Dreck, whose not only personality and fun-loving attitude will be missed, but also his strong hands and capable interactions with oozes.
So I will say... Technically, we were witnesses to the murder. Do you know what a reference might be to us being too late, and the city being doomed? Do you know what that might have been about? Because your friend the dwarf screamed that right before he was shot in the back by people who definitely were not us.
All right, so now you're blaming a third unidentified party and claiming you were witnesses to it. Yeah, this is the first time you're bringing that up. That's extremely suspicious.
To be fair, I didn't say it was a party. I mean, it could have been a soiree. I don't know.
Well, whatever the case, it's extremely suspicious. But let me honest your seemingly frank and straightforward question with an answer and to say, no, I have no idea what Derek may or may not have been talking about. That nonsense about it being too late is hogwash. We are perfectly on time.
And is Derek wearing the VR gear from upstairs?
He is not.
Does he have the red wand that we saw him with in the vision?
Also does not have the red wand. It wasn't him you saw with the red wand. It was his killer was holding the red wand.
Ah, right. Do we see the red wand on any of the other people there?
Not like out in plain sight. You sure don't. If only there was some way you could maybe look closer or interrogate them or do some sort of work detecting things.
Yeah. There was some member of our party who was an expert in fashion and has already been complimented about this, and it's been idly mentioned that could work as a consult for the fashion, what they happen to be wearing, and thus very subtly pat them all down to see what they have.
If only any of you were people who sort out mysteries for a living, maybe you could would have an inkling of what to do.
So, DM, I don't know, I'm going to shoot in the dark here. What if I used my skill of fashion insight to look at how their coveralls are sewn together to tell if any of them would fit a red wand.
All right, here's what I will give you because that is golden. What I will tell you is that I will let you use your insight skill with a mind to fashion to see if any of those white coveralls could possibly contain a secret hiding spot, because insight generally is used to determine the motive of somebody, whether they're lying or not. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you use that with fashion to determine whether the clothes could be lying. So you would know if somebody, let me tell you, you'll know if somebody's wearing Spanx.
Oh, yeah.
You'll know if they are wearing some sort of Spanx, and you'll know if they have concealing secret pockets
or some sort of hairpiece.
You know if their hair is real.
What? Yeah, you know if they've got like a toupee or like a weave or like extensions.
Beard extensions.
Yeah, any of those things. Yeah, Becky Skume does have a significant beard.
It's Becky with the great hair. No.
Oh, swing and a miss by Brown.
So close and yet.
So Shannon like walks over to Becky and she kind of like looks at her outfit and she's like, oh, so that must have been from the yesteryear line of coveralls. And then she like looks in and she looks, oh no. So she
sounds great.
She gets a 2+5.
Oh.
All right, so Shannon using her insight into fashion, boy Shannon, honestly these coveralls are so, like, you don't want to say ugly because that's a little mean, but they're ugly. And they're very baggy, and they're not complimenting to figures at all, and you just can't tell whether they might have secret pockets in them. They certainly could, because they're so baggy. Or they could just be unattractive and, like, not well-fitting.
Oh.
Well, that seems like an insult you've done to me about my fashion. And, again, this is not an outfit that I chose. It is the workwear that I wear to work here in the sewers. And that I will point out to you is spotlessly clean in spite of my working in the sewers with trash and other detritus.
That is very suspicious.
Yeah.
It's not suspicious. It's a sign of a job well done. We are professionals down here.
So Aaron has taken out his notepad and is writing down everything she says or appears to be, and moving his lips as he does so that he can cast detect magic without being seen doing so.
That is impressive. Give me a you tell you what, you can give me a perform, but with disadvantage.
Ugh, that's awful.
That's a tough one.
Well. Wow, really wish you hadn't given me disadvantage.
don't we all?
Still, it's performance, so that's a 13 total. It was an 8+5.
All right, actually, and that is, yeah, that's going to be good enough. So you successfully cast Detect Magic. For a hot second, you see something magical on Raina Dross's person, and then you are blinded. There is an unbelievably strong magic aura somewhere nearby. Not like on somebody's person, but like somewhere in these catacombs is a magical aura so powerful that you were that it blew out your detect magic. So that spell has ended forcibly. But you did detect that Raynadros did have something magical on her person before you were sort of blinded summarily by that spell. And Scott, it seems like you and Bark, that Illyn and Bark maybe had something up their sleeves as well.
Well, Illyn has absolutely nothing up their sleeves as a general rule.
They have short sleeves.
That's true. But Bark, the dog, has been sniffing and nosing around and maybe has picked up the sort of scent trail of ozone left by some sort of cowardly from behind spell attack. Mm. And we're going to maybe roll like a survival on Bark the dog with advantage because it has to do with scent. So to try and find a trail.
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it. Go survival. I think you get that advantage with the scent.
All right, that's a 17 plus 2 is 19.
Ooh. Okay. What Bark finds, there's a lot of scents down here. Bark smells that scent of, like, that sort of magical ozone on Derek Dross's body and also deeper into the catacombs. You do smell it on Ragnar Dross also, faintly, but it also definitely leads deeper into the catacombs. And just as Bark comes a sniffling, a Rouge sort of jumps a little bit and like pulls something out of their pocket. Hold on, guys. We're gonna have to. Yep, 3, 2, 1, and all three of the members of the Dirt and Debris Disposal Guild turn inward down the catacombs, and sort of shout out a weird phrase. Not like in perfect unison, but they're all saying the same thing. Does anybody here speak Abyssal?
I feel like I took it as an elective.
I also thought you took maybe it in high school, Clara.
Yeah.
Is that on your character sheet?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Wait, what's the... It's Abyssal? That's what the language is?
That's the language. Nope. All right. Clara, I'll tell you what. We can say that... We can say that Aloe took a little bit of Abyssal in early education. So why don't you give me an intelligence roll? So just a d20 plus your intelligence modifier. No other bonuses.
Okay.
8
plus 2 is 10.
Okay. That's not quite gonna pull it off, unfortunately. So you don't speak Abyssal. You don't know what they said, but again, it's a clue. So you're not gonna fail entirely. I'll tell you what you know is that it is a prayer. Okay. You don't know much about it, but you know that they just shouted a sort of a prayer, and that's what they all sort of turn and make a weird like gesture on their chests.
As they turn away, Aaron, kind of rubbing his eyes, looks over at Shannon and makes a pointing gesture over at Raina and gives her a gesture of like pat her down and then takes a seat because his eyes
hey,
hurt.
Folks, I'm real sorry. We do have a lot going on today. We are going to have to do this as a walk and talk because we've got a lot of trash to dispose of. We've got to get it down here to the Master Ooze and get it sort of into the system, as it were. So, you know, we don't have the authority to arrest you. You also don't have the authority to arrest us. Also, we did not murder my dear friend and colleague. You did, almost certainly. But so we'll all just keep each other company as we walk down and we will do our work. And then at the end of the shift, we can all go up together and contact some sort of police authority and bring this whole thing to the attention of the proper guards. But in the meantime, we do have to continue working. So if you'll just walk with us.
So that sounds like a great idea, but I'm a hugger. So then Shannon runs over to Rainer and throws her arm around her. And she's like, give me a hug. And she's like feeling her up and down.
This is 100% unwanted contact. I do not want this. I do not like it. And I would love to have it stop. Why don't you give me a sleight of hand check?
Okay, I can do that. Let's see. Oh, watch out, 13.
Okay, that's enough. You get a hold of some sort of stick-like object, and you're actually able to pull it out of her pocket. It is a ruby red wand.
Aha!
That's definitely mine. Can you please give it back?
It was you. You murdered this your friend. I love cases that wrap up early.
Yeah, you're giving half-orcs a bad name. And Al brings out Aloysius.
Uh-oh.
Like, are you going to go easy?
Okay, you did just draw a very large and heavy hammer.
Yeah.
And now you're making accusations that I am some sort of murderer, which is wild. That I would murder someone in my own faith, my own religion. Derek was a faithful
member of the Cult of Jui Blex, just as all four of us are 100% faithful members of the Cult of Jui Blex. Can someone please give me an insight check?
Wait.
Yeah, isn't that the fictional game?
Yeah.
16 plus 4. Ilan's trained in insight.
She is 100% lying. She is not a faithful member of the Cult of Jui Blex.
Yeah, no way. Those are the slime people. Even this was literally just explained to us. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I thought that was a video game or some sort of illusion magic game. And secondly, I feel like are you yeah. just like a one or two holiday a year Jubiplexer? I feel like you're kind of sweating there. I can see your eyeliner running.
I don't know what you're talking about. And that does get Becky's attention. Well, that's a weird accusation to make. My halfling friend there. That does appear to be a sort of a relic of Asmodeus, a sort of a holy reliquary, a sort of a symbol of Asmodeus, rather than a symbol of Jui Blex, as we all have it. And she and Rouge both pull out sterling silver goopy orbs. Mm. So the ones upstairs in the arcade were like wood with like a thin veneer of coating. The ruby red rod that Shannon has is like red glass or red crystal, and these gloopy orbs are, like I said, sterling silver.
So is the game real, or are we in the game, or is this just like the basement? Is the concept of the game like seeping down? What is happening?
Yeah, what is going on,
honey? I'm afraid I'm plumb confused about what you're talking about. What game are you all on about?
What, you don't know Brian Dryan upstairs? He runs this game. It's Jui Blex followers versus Asmodeus followers in a fight to the... I don't know how it works. I didn't get to play it.
I'll tell you, fellow, that sounds a lot like the Blood War, which is a real and terrible threat to all of the cosmos. Demons versus devils, sort of a multiversal scale conflict. If it ever tipped to one tipped in the favor of demons or in the favor of devils, all life throughout the cosmos would be sort of eliminated. So it sounds kind of like that, but you're saying it's a game? And so I assure you that Jui Blex is a real fella. Well, they're the faceless lord, the hungry one. That is our sort of religious figure of choice.
Like the Master Ooze?
Nope, the Master Ooze is just a big old ooze. Does not have a divinity as we think. Although, you know, I bet the Master Ooze is sort of like an altar to Jui Blex.
Okay, yeah.
That's a weird thought. I can't believe that's strange. I've never had that thought before. You'd think that would have come to me soon.
Are you being real with me? You've never put that together as a metaphor.
That's weird. Mm, it's okay. You know, we all worship Jui Blex. How come we've never had the thought?
Well, one of you doesn't, and Aaron goes to kind of stand behind Reyna and box her in case she tries to take off. We have strong evidence that is absolutely admissible in court that your friend Derek here was killed by this rod, which we found on the person of your friend here. So I think you've got some internal answering to do.
All right. Listen, am I a 100% true blue cult, the Jui Blex cultist? No, that's you got me there. I do lip service at best. In fact, maybe no lip service on account of he is a filthy demon lord, not worthy of anyone's attention or adoration. And only Asmodeus, lord of the nine hells, and the master strategist and the original manipulator of all manipulators, is worth devoting your life to. And
at this, Aaron is looking around at everybody else in the party and is like, is this bad? Should we stop?
And I think you'll find that I have just, for the very first time, inscribed some runes to Asmodeus that will surely get his attention, because I am a very faithful follower. And it is just, now I will say, it is just me. My cult of Asmodeus is one person. So, you know, it is the first time, you know, I've never inscribed runes before. This is the first time I ever remember doing it.
So Ilan, in the middle of this diatribe, will take Shannon aside and be like, Shannon, you're my spiritual guide in most things. And is this legit, or have they just been drinking too much ooze juice, or could this possibly be real?
Yeah, this lady's like obviously totally crazy, so it's just, don't, you're buying into this too much. Just detach yourself emotionally, because she's going to jail.
Yeah, the Church of Fashionology
traditionally speaking, very very focused on sort of the deities of fashionology. Not really outwardly focused at other sort of divine or semi-divine figures. So you could maybe not take Shannon at her word, or you could. Ilan doesn't know any better.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
You sure do, Ilan. And that is when the rumbling begins. You can hear it before you can see it. And actually what you do, what you see for, well, you hear it before you see it. And then you see it in the form of a whole bunch of oozes and slimes sort of cascading towards you down the, cascading towards you from the opposite end of the place. So away, they are coming from where you were towards the Master Ooze, towards where sort of Becky and Reyna and Arush have been sort of gesturing to when they talk about the Master Ooze. And so can I get a dexterity saving throw from everybody?
Yeah, heck yeah. Except I rolled really bad. That's a 6 for Aaron.
Wow, that is real bad. Ilan got 10 plus, plus 5.
I got a 12 plus 4.
I got a 17 plus 0.
Bart got a 19 on the die.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay. So everybody but Aaron takes a single point of damage as you mostly dodge out of the way of these oozes. But there are quite a few of them, and you do get sort of, they are all very acidy. Unlike Pinky from earlier, all of these oozes are extremely acidic and burny. And Marty, Aaron does take 5 points of damage as an ooze slams right sort of, he is standing still and he dodges out of the way. He's very acrobatic of one large ooze, and then a almost perfectly invisible ooze, translucent, sloshes right through, like, over him, into him, onto him, and then past him, and then leave. It leaves him behind.
But... Oh, Aaron burned.
Oh, buddy.
Rouge and Reyna Dross and Becky Skeum all dodge expertly out of the way of these oozes. They are used to, you know, sort of dodging oozes, and they know how to deal with this.
So, I don't know, Trash Day had a traditional parade? What's going on?
That's an interesting question. I have no idea what's going on, but it is not good. If something is up with the Master Ooze, that could be disastrous for all of Land Arcanum, especially on today of all days, Trash Day.
Is that where you drew your rune? Or rune?
Yeah, that's right. I drew my rune in the room with the Master Ooze. Now, again, as I say, first time I've drawn this rune, but I'm sure we'll get Asmodeus' attention, as I am a very loyal follower.
Do you have an eraser, by chance, on you?
No.
No matter. I'm sure we can paint over it. Let's go to the Master Ooze.
So you guys book it down through the catacombs and sewers and into this big chamber. Inside this chamber is a humongous, 50-foot diameter ooze sort of embedded in the floor. So you kind of see the top curve of this ooze. And there are tons of in this room, it's a huge cylinder, 200 feet high. And there are just pipes and tunnels and things sort of emptying out and splashing into this ooze. Every splash of debris and trash into this ooze, it absorbs and dissolves this stuff. But there's also a faint glow every time something impacts and it starts dissolving. And this room has dozens and dozens and dozens of runes inscribed on the walls. Oh, that's funny. I only remember inscribing the one. That's weird. You'd think I'd remember doing a whole bunch of these. And you see all of the runes are glowing dark red, ominously. And the ooze is glowing dark purple, ominously. And Becky, her eyes just go completely, her eyes go out of her head with, panic. She's like, oh my gods, this ooze is gonna turn into a portal, y'all. This is bad. The Master Ooze is gonna turn into a portal, leading directly to our Lord and Savior, Jewy Blex.
How do we make that not happen?
That's a great idea. I do not know. If we had had some time to fix this a couple of weeks ago, maybe when things started getting bad, Because that looks like, it looks like maybe this is a couple weeks old, but I surely would have remembered if I had seen this that it's extremely bad, because it looks extremely bad.
Becky, I hate to be the person to do this, but you were really talking about how cool under pressure you were before, and you put out a lot of good words about yourself, and I gotta say, you didn't see this coming? You don't take care of this Master Ooze? The whole time Aaron is like climbing up the wall to try to get at these runes, and like pulls out his dagger and tries to like just scratch them off the wall.
Yeah, Alice should take her hammer and, I guess, smash it.
Okay,
yeah.
So Aloe and Aaron are sort of, like, smashing these roots. There are dozens, and they are kind of, some of them are out of reach, as Marty has noted that Aaron is having to climb to reach some of them. But, like, they're also kind of resistant to your attacks. Like, you're scratching, and you're getting, like, flakes of stone with your dagger, and Clara Aloe is getting, like, chunks of things, but the stone that's breaking off is, like, around the rune. So, like, what you've got is, like, a stone in the shape of the rune now, and also the rune, like, carved, like, painted on top of that. And Becky responds to Aaron's just harsh, harsh criticism by saying, "Now listen, sir, if I assure you, if I had known any of this was happening, I sure would have done something about it, but the last thing
it's
I remember
your
about
one
the Master
job,
Ooze was
Becky, that..." Your one job!
Yep, very nice. "I assure you, sir, if I, the last thing I remember from this ooze is it being perfectly content, and not glowing every time trash hit it, and not almost turning into a portal to Dewey Blex, our Lord and Savior, who, unfortunately, will consume all of us,
Aaron,
like, all at once."
Aaron
it's not great.
Aaron puts his dagger away and steps down. And is like, "It's Brian. Brian.
Brian?
This.
Who's Brian?"
"Well, wait, Brian the illithid upstairs."
"Yeah, the mind flayer upstairs that manipulates people's perceptions of reality and their memories.
With his illusion stuff?"
"Yeah."
"But why would Brian care about Dewey Blex or Asmodeus? Because, like, I carved all these ruins of well, actually, I do remember carving one rune of Asmodeus up. But why would he care about Dewey Blex or Asmodeus?"
"And if we take him at his word, which I don't know why we would, he wants a fight, but he probably is on one side or the other and wants to see the showdown happen."
Everybody give me a perception check.
While everyone's perceiving, Ellen, yes. In a moment of frustration, facing their certain doom with the entire room glowing, pulls out that gem that we were given by Zuman and Hans. Says,
yeah.
"You'd think the greatest seer in the known universe could have warned us. Thanks a lot." And hucks it into the ooze, throwing it away.
A very interesting thing you've done there, Ellen. The fire steel emblem, emblazoned with a celestial rune by Zuman and Hans, hits the ooze. And that part of the ooze, like, drops completely to black. And the ooze is, like, trying to recoil from it. But it is absorbing, like, the ooze has already started absorbing the steel. And it's sort of recoiling from itself. And it's not glowing in that part of the ooze anymore. Everybody
guys,
give me...
He's weak to jewelry! Quick!
So before anybody... Before we see what everybody reacts to Ilan's proclamation, what is everybody's perception checks?
I got a 17 plus 5.
That's very good.
Yeah, I got a 14 plus 3.
Also great.
Man, everybody's perception is super good. I got a 15 plus 1, 16.
Also, wow, really good, though.
Yeah, that was the luck part.
Wink Scott, because it seems like maybe Illa didn't do great.
No, I didn't roll. I assumed that I was throwing rather than perceiving.
Okay, that's fair. So Aaron and, man, Jeffrey Shannon did extremely well. Okay, Aaron and Aloe see an ooze approaching Becky Skume. But... Jeffrey, Shannon has already seen this ooze, and she saw it as it approached and was reaching out to touch her. So Shannon has a chance to act. There is an ooze reaching out to touch Becky Skume. And Shannon, in fact, your perception is so good, you recognize this ooze. It is Pinky. It's Pinky, the ooze of one of Brian Dryan's of pet ooze buddies.
You pretty much became one with him.
Although no one knows or remembers that fact. Because
okay.
You had your so you lost didn't... your memory of that incident.
So he's like about to he's lunging at Becky.
He's not
right?
Lunging as much as he's sort of reaching out tentatively to touch her. Very slowly.
Okay. And so Shannon's like, "Stop! Pinky, wait!" Very dramatically.
The pseudopod is reaching out with stops and turns to look at you. And like sort of like it's a pseudopod, so it doesn't really have an expression, but it can sort of twist sideways a little bit as though it was like questioningly like, huh?
Glurgle glurg?
Smort?
Pinky, Splorsh? I know you're twisting your head in compassion. You don't have to do this. Right? Like, you don't have to go touching people all gross and stuff and like hurting people. Like, I feel like we have a connection. I don't know what it is, but like, I know you feel it too. Not in a weird way, though.
It sporshes up to you a little bit and like waggles its butt. Like, the back part of the ooze sort of waggles a little bit and it touches your hand. You tell you what, give me a dexterity saving throw if you don't want to let it touch your hand.
Okay. Oh, I got a 12. And I have zero dexterity bonuses.
So unfortunately, I guess that's not going to beat the ooze.
Okay.
So it does reach out to touch you. It doesn't hurt you at all. It's a very gentle touch. And now you don't remember. You remember talking to everybody, and you remember the ooze is sort of stampeding past. And now you find yourself in a room, and like a bunch of stuff is glowing, and everybody's panicking, and Aaron is climbing on the ceiling, scratching at things with his dagger, and Aloe is wailing on the wall with a hammer, and Ilan is shouting about something wild about jewelry. And you see, like, this giant ooze being freaky and, like, all these runes being weird and freaky.
Well, it's Wednesday, and Shannon just, like, walks over and sits down somewhere, and she's like, I'll let them sort this out for now. That's our response.
And Pinky now has sort of changed colors a little bit. Like, before, where Pinky was sort of black, Pinky's now sort of, like, partly colored in with a sort of a purplish color. And Pinky is sort of, like, sloshing its way away from the Master Ooze, sort of back towards the arcade.
Chums, I'm out of charms on my friendship bracelet. Does anybody have the charms I gave them for their friendship bracelets? I feel like this was real important.
Yeah, so Shannon and Aaron and Aloe all have Firesteel emblems, but I don't know if any of them are wearing their friendship bracelets, so I'm not sure how they're going to respond to this.
How can you not be wearing... I made those myself.
Aloe goes to Aaron like, I threw that away as soon as she gave it to me.
At this point, you hear Rouge start screaming. And like pointing at the ooze and like pointing at the runes and like pointing at the ooze and pointing at the runes. And you see another sort of Oblex like Pinky sloshing away. This one's also partly sort of discolored in sort of a bluish red color. And it's also slurping its way back towards the arcade. Oh my god, it's the first time I'm seeing this horrible event. Oh god, it looks really bad. Becky, all this stuff looks really bad. I don't like the ooze. The Master Ooze is glowing like some sort of portal to another sort of a hell dimension or something. And they got all these runes. These are infernal. These aren't like abyssal, like Dewey Blacks. They're sort of like, they're almost like Asmodeus runes. It's really, really bad, Becky. I know. We're all, now, hang on. You do seem to be a little behind the times, Rouge, but it's all right. I think enough for all of us. Well, you just threw your Firesteel emblem. That Firesteel sort of bit, right? The things that I asked you to all to thing?
We've been forgetting things. Did you guys forget you had Firesteel stuff? You have jewelry. Throw your jewelry.
That actually might do the trick.
Aaron pulls the Firesteel emblem out of his person and throws it at one of the escaping purple oozes.
Interesting. All right. Give me an attack roll.
All right.
So like proficiency plus dexterity modifier, we'll say.
Okay. We'll do that. I'm rolling super bad tonight. That's an 8 total.
8. Okay, so your fire emblem just goes wide and clatters along the floor. But the Oblex, it wasn't Pinky, it was the other one, like does shy away from it a little bit. But like not like freak out, it sort of like wobbles on the other side of it a little bit. That's when give me a dexterity saving throw now.
That's a that's 16 total.
Okay, so you jump out of the way just in time as another one of the, either Inky or Blinky or Clydebert, presumably, tries to touch you, and you sort of leap out of the way just in time. Again, it's a very slow thing. It's just like sort of gently reaching out to you to try and touch you.
As the emblem goes wide, Ilan yells, Bark! Fetch! Ruff, ruff. And Bark goes diving toward the emblem.
Yeah, so Bark has got that emblem clutched in her jaws.
And then Bark first shakes it to break its spine. And then runs toward the gigantic canonical, like, horrible ooze that's about to become a portal.
Master ooze.
Yep, the master ooze. And then gets up next to it and probably just drops the emblem down because,
does that thing that dogs do where they, like, kind of, like, push things out of their mouth with their tongue. Like, sorry, you've caught me. I should have not had this in my mouth. So it's a slightly different spot than where Illyn threw it. And the spot of the ooze that it hits also turns very dark and, like, is trying to recoil away from itself. The other parts of this ooze are glowing and actually growing bigger as more and more trash sort of comes tumbling down from the ceiling. Aloe, give me a reflex, give me a dexterity saving throw. So that should be your dexterity modifier, and as a rogue, you're probably proficient in it. So you also want to add your proficiency bonus, I believe.
Okay, so I got a 6.
You got a 4. Your proficiency bonus is already included.
Oh,
great. I mean, you got a +4, sorry.
Okay, so I got a 10.
Okay, so Aloe, you now remember having a conversation in the hallway, and you now remember sort of the stampede of oozes, and you find yourself in a weird room. You don't remember any of the explanations about the portal. You don't remember any of the stuff about the oozes taking memory. You don't remember any of the stuff about the runes of Asmodeus. You just find yourself holding your hammer, like looking at a wall that's like crumbling around you. Like, I assume Aloe probably goes back to whacking the wall because she assumes that whatever she was doing probably was
involved destroying.
Yeah, which she gets a kick out of. So again, it doesn't. It's not actually accomplishing anything because like the runes seem to be immune to like being damaged. But Aloe sure is enjoying it.
Mm.
You see a fourth Oblex, Aaron and Illyn and presumably Shannon, touch Aloe and sort of turn sort of a deep, dark blue, mostly, and sort of slosh off towards Brian.
Aaron,
it's like they're eating us, one color at a time.
Aaron starts trying to climb towards the garbage chutes in the ceiling and yells out... We gotta throw these emblems in. We gotta stop this ooze from growing. Shannon, Aloe, it took your memories. Just throw the stupid thing that Zoom and Enhance gave us at the big blue thing.
You do remember Zoom and Enhance giving you weird stuff that you're pretty sure was not really worth money, but like you accepted it anyway on account of you wanted to get out of space. So yeah, Shannon and Aloe, you both have these things. You both know what Aaron's talking about. What do you do?
So Shannon's still on the box in the corner.
Right.
She's like, oh, okay. So she like gets over and she walks over. And she's like, the metal part? Like I take the metal part out of my jacket? Like that?
Yep.
Yeah.
You guys don't sound very enthusiastic. I'm wondering if I should just sit back down.
Aaron is like hanging upside down on the ceiling, like climbing this impossible thing. Like, yep, sorry, I'm just focusing.
Yeah, honey, I don't know what he's got in mind, but I think it's probably good of you to sort of do that, sort of fling that old sucker right into the old Master Ooze, and which it does hurt me to say because I do enjoy the Master Ooze, but I do not want to open a portal to Jewy Blex's home because he would then come through it and consume all of us.
A lot of mixed signals from you, Becky, but okay.
No, all the same signal, ma'am. Just throw that Firesteel emblem right into the Master Ooze.
Okay. So Shannon pulls it out and she like casually tosses it towards it.
Flings it. All right. The same thing happens. It lands. This ooze sort of darkens where it is and it recoils from itself. There's not much of it like touching trash now, but like the part of it that is glowing brighter and brighter than ever. And the runes around this room are also glowing like a deeper red. That's sort of like when you get a black light, like you can tell there's light, but it kind of hurts your eyes. This is sort of that light, but also you feel a growing existential dread.
Oh no.
Does anyone else feel that existential dread?
Yeah.
That's what that is.
I don't like it.
So to clarify, is it any type of jewelry or only those emblems that can kill the ooze?
Well, my friendship jewelry hasn't been helping, but any jewelry's worth a try.
Illyn, I don't have the stupid bracelet.
I made those for you myself. It doesn't matter. We're still friends.
Ma'am, I hate to interject, but I'm pretty sure it's the fire steel emblems that are really doing the trick here. I don't know where you got these from, but they do seem to be recoiling against the Master Ooze, or the Master Ooze does be recoiling from them, and whatever celestial rune they have engraved in them does seem to be negating sort of abyssal, sort of infernal fiendish magic that has been brewing in this old ooze for presumably a couple of weeks, even though I surely do not remember any of this before today.
Okay,
Okay, thank you for that long-winded explanation.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm always happy to help a fellow ooze enthusiast, an ooze-thusiast, we call her.
God, sorry, as she's sorry, doing enthusiast. This long explanation, we like briefly cut to Aaron, who is like silently just like fighting with this chute of garbage and trying to like use his body to block it and failing and like getting blown back out and almost falling to his death as she's just like rambling about how much she loves oozes.
Okay, so Al takes some of the metal that's in her mouth, like some of the random weapons in her mouth, and she takes the rune that was given to her by Zoom and Enhance, and she takes a knife and she copies the rune symbol into the different types of jewelry.
Okay.
And let's say she does like maybe five of them, and then she throws them all into the ooze.
Including the one from Zoom and Enhance?
Yeah.
Okay, so the other five copies that you make, they sort of have an impact. Like Al is pretty good with a knife, so they do like the ooze goes dark where those hits, but it's not nearly as big a spot, and the ooze doesn't recoil from those pieces of metal. It just darkens in those places. However, where the fire steel hits, where there's also the celestial rune, it recoils and darkens. And the ooze with those last few like sort of runes and that last bit of fire still touching it, it sort of like starts collapsing in on itself, and the whole chamber you're in starts rumbling and it starts collapsing. We gotta get out of here. These walls are not built to sustain themselves without the sort of volume of the master ooze in it, and you appear to have sort of dissolved it into a puddle of desiccated dust.
That sounds like a really good idea. We should get out of here.
You all start running. The runes, the runes around the thing are still glowing, but they're glowing a little less brightly now, and they're starting to crumble as the walls crumble around them. So the runes are finally starting to break as like whatever energy source this ooze was creating is sort of diminished, and the runes are sort of losing their potency, and you're all feeling a little less existential dread, but also more sort of immediate imminent death threat as the cavern, as sort of the tunnels are collapsing.
Everybody forgot a lot of things, but you didn't forget the labyrinth song, did you? Two lefts and a right, and then straight past the pit trap. Then you have to crawl on your belly for a little while because there's a clap section. Turn around, it's the third door on the right, and then we'll get back to the arcade.
And so you find yourselves at the arcade. You don't see the Oblexes anywhere. You know that they aren't very fast and you should have passed them on the way there, but you also dodged like three cave-ins on your way here, so you think that maybe they sort of got mushed at some point. But at any rate, all of you, including they did grab Becky and Rouge did grab the corpse of Derek Drek. And so all four of the Dirt and Debris Disposal Guild members and all five detectives, including Bark, have returned to the basement of the arcade. Hi, everybody. What, you...
Hey, everybody. Did you solve the problem down there? It doesn't really look like you sealed up the hole so much and haven't seen my ooze buddies in a bit. So what's going on?
Eric has sleep on him.
let me make a roll for that.
Is he humanoid? I don't know if they are affected by sleep.
Boy, a lot of rules in this game, huh? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of rules that we usually don't pay that much attention to. So,
great. Let's do this the way that should happen. Aaron slaps him in the face.
Oh, that hurt quite a bit, actually.
Brian.
Yeah, what? You just slapped me in the face.
Brian!
What?
It's not a
Will,
it's not a
it's
game.
It's funny you should talk about games, because all mine just stopped working.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you were tapping into a real conflict that spans multiple universes and planes, and you almost brought it all right here to Lan Arcanum.
But now the games don't work as a thing, pal. You wrecked my games. That was my whole livelihood.
Aaron produces the three coins and takes Brian's hand and one at a time puts them in and says, "You are welcome," and closes his hand and walks away.
Nobody cares about your game, you idiot.
Oh, yeah.
You almost ruined the city just for profit.
I think a lot of folks cared about D&D while it was around. They loved playing demons and devils, but it's all over now.
Nobody cares about D&D. Only losers play D&D.
Well, now, that seems... Hold on a second. I do want to say that doesn't seem right at all. That seems blatantly untrue. He looks right at the camera. I think a lot of fine folks play D&D, at least during the, like, 2 days my arcade was open.
Nobody cares about your game.
Well, now, hold on, Allo. I don't know that that's fair. We didn't even get to try D&D. I mean, everybody else was having fun playing it. And if you're having fun, you're doing it right. Maybe we'll get to try it next year when they come out with the new version. And if that isn't fun, then maybe we're just going to have to argue that the older version was. Well, you know, that does sound like a whole lot of fun. I'll tell you right now, there, I didn't even ever catch your name. Hi, I'm Ellen. Hi, Ellen. Have I introduced myself to you? I don't seem to remember very well. I'm Becky Skew, a member of director of the Dirt and Debris Disposal Guild. And I do, it would sound like I'd have a great time sort of playing. Nothing going on today, right?
Well, I mean, it's
Trash Day.
I love Trash Day. And no giant ooze is going to keep Bark and I from rolling in trash today.
Ellen and Bark will run outside and find a pile of trash and roll on it.
So you guys, yeah, you all go outside. You find that the arcade parlor is emptied out. All the children and adults have sort of stopped. When all the sort of fun blood war games stopped working, they all sort of filtered out of there. Brian Dryan is like massaging his cheek. He's got a frozen ham hock up against his cheek. And he's sort of picking up toy ruby rods and toy like sludge balls and stacking them up in a crate. And you see the chief outside in her Minotaur form dumping that crate of old police uniforms down into the down into the catacombs through a trash hole. How'd everything go down there? Did you get sort of solve all your cases and stuff? Because like it's almost lunchtime.
Yeah, we did.
Well, that sounds like you're ready for today's special then.
Oh, why? What's the special?
Carry on my wayward bun. And with that, you hear the melodious tones of everyone's favorite now-sayer, Skip Skyseeker.
Good evening, Lanarcanum. It's me, Skip Skyseeker, now-sayer 5, here with your evening news. Lanarcanum's very first quote-unquote arcade has already been closed. Proprietor Brian Dryan has reported, quote, unquote, supply chain difficulties and hope to be open again in a few, yes, this is right, years. A few years. Meanwhile, Trash Day went swimmingly. I personally disposed of a year's worth of broken megaphones and rotten soapboxes, and I spotted Lanarcanum's own former chief of the High Guard disposing of an entire armoire's worth of old uniforms. Clearly a day we will all remember for years to come. I'm Skip Skyseeker, now Sayer 5, and that's all the news that's fit to shout.
And without addressing what happens to Reyna Dross, who definitely murdered Derek Drek, we cut back down to the catacombs. Back down to those sewers. Back underneath Lanarcanum. We find ourselves looking at four Oblexes. Pinky, Inky, Blinky, and Clydebert.
They're all four mixed with strange colors, one an orangey-yellow, the other a teal-blue, third a purplish-pink, and the fourth a deep red. Trash comes tumbling down the hole, and the catacombs are littered with discarded fruit and tons of small, round, bright Highgard badges. These four Oblexes hear something and turn as one to catch a glimpse of all the remains of the Master Ooze crawling out of its pit, a small yellow puddle with a mouth. It chomps on one of the shining circles, and grows slightly. The Oblexes, with just enough of Becky's, Allo's, Rouge's, and Shannon's memories left, begin chasing their new eternal target.
Thanks for listening to Lawful and Orderly Special Visions Unit. Join our detectives next time for another exciting adventure in Lanarcanum. Same RPG time, same RPG Academy.
Visit us at dndsvu.rpg.academy. Our whole crew can be found on Twitter. Scott is at GEOWTF. Jeffrey is at ATL_Spielberg. Clara is at ALO_SEDA1. Marty is at Schmarty. And Andrew J. Young is at That1GM. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and review, or tell a friend about the show. Thanks.